A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to a Cinematic Universe minisode. We're doing the live thing again, because it worked quite well last week or the week before or whenever it was that we did it. It gave us the opportunity to do a news run-through and actually have people comment along with us and talk to us and correct us and also ask us questions and that kind of thing. And it meant that we had audio that was basically ready to use straight away on the podcast feed. So if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, this has debuted on YouTube. If you want to catch these as they go out, we'll probably do it for the next one as well. So keep an eye on our Twitter for the links and stuff. But for now, we are going to have a run through some news because once again, there has been some news in the last few weeks. So we'll run through and comment on some of it as and when it's relevant. If people are watching, I think we have got some viewers. Obviously, you can comment along, so feel free to leave us a comment. And if you want to comment and say that you're here now, we can say hello and give you a shout out as we go along. But shall we get straight in with some news? And I can put up some fancy graphics that can't be seen on the podcast, but will be able to be seen on YouTube.
Yes, let's do that.
So the first piece of news, Let There Be Carnage. Venom 2 has got a title. It's also had its release date pushed back, which we'll talk about shortly. But yes, the Venom sequel is going to be called Venom, Let There Be Carnage. It was going to come out in October this year, unsurprisingly, given everything going on. That's been back to June of next year, which is quite a big push. It's not as, is it as far back or is it further back than Morbius went? Morbius went from July to March. Maths. but yeah, so we will have to wait longer to see Venom, but it's got a title, which I saw this. I first discovered this because I saw this reported on a certain comic book news website as being a really bad title. And someone said it, the article said that it was like as bad a title as The Phantom Menace. I think it's a great title. What do you think, James?
I think it's a stupid title. It's not well, it's not like a saying. No one says let there be carnage, right?
No, but it's it's not a pun on like an existing saying. But it's fun. I think it's, you know, there's the debate over Venom, over the fact that like some of that film is a certain tone that the rest of the film kind of doesn't seem to know
to match.
It should also be. But I think our hope is that the sequel is going to lean far more into that.
Does suggest a certain amount of self-awareness that wasn't necessarily present throughout the first film.
And it's going to have Woody Harrelson as Carnage. So, you know, like, I'm not anticipating this being like incredibly serious, and I think what I really like about it is that it's the latest in a shift away from superhero movies having titles that are just Superman, Superman 2, Superman 3, okay, we have
Superman,
Superman 4,
Returns,
Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible. Obviously, the first films, that's fine. They can have the title that's the name of the character. But what I like about titles like, I mean, this absolute Let There Be Carnage sounds to me like the title of a trade paperback of a storyline that Marvel has put in the comics.
But it sounds like
on Harley Quinn, maybe less so. Love and Thunder is another example. I'm liking the fact that these titles sound more like the titles of comic book stories and not like generic film titles that could
my problem is they sound like sort of generic trade paperbacks that you would skip if you saw them on the shelf, because you'll be going, well, that's a dumb title.
No, you're saying that because it's Carnage. You're saying you would skip.
No, if it was called Venom Maximum Carnage, I would be so hyped right now. The only problem with calling it Maximum Carnage is that implies some kind of adaptation of the comic book, yeah. Which I imagine they're aiming for, right? At some point.
Mm. And yeah, but you wouldn't do it now, would you? You can't do it as the first Carnage story.
Yeah, but they could have called it like, I don't know.
What if the next Spider-Man film is called Let There Be Clonage?
Didn't we hear that the next Spider-Man film was going to have home in the title?
The next Spider-Man film is going to have the word home in the title, which led to a lot of joking on Twitter about that fact.
I did one joke about it.
A lot of people making Spider-Man jokes who didn't know you had to put the hyphen in. It was really starting to bug me. only a few people did what I did and took the home as part of Homer. I think I said it was going to be called Spider-Man Homer's Barbershop Quartet. But there were a lot of stay at home, and it's like, come on.
Spider-Man work from home, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I expect that the Have I Got News For You Twitter account will get round to making that joke in about
2 or 3 weeks. Yeah.
The Home Saga, the Spider-Man films could be called. And Let There Be Fish Tanks. I assume that's a reference, but I don't know what it's a reference to. Is it just
the fish tanks, the fish tank in Venom?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Look, the banner stays up after I've taken comments off. That's good. This is new technology, so I'm still getting used to it. I don't know, I just feel like it's an indicator that this will hopefully be over the top and silly. Like, it's an over the top title. It's ridiculous. To me, I mean, there were a lot of people who said they thought the Birds of Prey title was terrible, but I thought it was... I didn't like that they decided to change that partway through the release because they thought it was off-putting, because to me that title did actually appropriately reflect the tone of the film that we got, and I loved that film, and I loved that it had that title.
I am sympathetic to the fact that they went, oh shit, people aren't seeing this film because they don't know Harley Quinn's the main character in it.
I mean, yeah, if you've got an incredibly long title and you've put the character who's the draw at the end of it, and so that character's name won't appear on a film ticket.
Yeah, so when you go onto the website to book the slot, it says Birds of Prey and the and you're like, okay. I do sort of think the film probably would have been better titled like The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey.
Or Harley Quinn's Fantabulous Emancipation plus the Birds of Prey. Yeah. Something like that. Like, keeping the same kind of rhythm to it, but just putting Harley's name up top. Well, this doesn't have that problem. It's called Venom, Let There Be Carnage. You know it's sequel to Venom. You know it's got Carnage in it. I mean, okay. Other than Maximum Carnage, what without knowing anything about the plot of this film, other than it's got Carnage in it, what else would you have called this film? And again, I will open that up to the YouTube to the commenters.
I mean, the only other Carnage storylines I can think of are Carnage USA, which isn't really appropriate. Doesn't say anything. Like, Carnage USA sounds like Let There Be Carnage, which is just, we took a phrase and put Carnage in it because we needed to sell a trade paperback. And then like Minimum Carnage, which is a pun on Maximum Carnage, so that doesn't work either.
Minimum Carnage would be good. I'm not sure that would be much of a selling point for the film. No. Hey, we haven't got much of the villain in it.
I would have called it War of the Symbiotes.
War of the Symbiotes. Okay. Well, we don't know if it's going to be a War of Symbiotes, do we?
I imagine they're not going to be best buds. I imagine.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to put this to a poll later. Which is a better title, War of the Symbiotes or Let There Be Carnage? Except the internet agrees with you. Like, I haven't seen anyone comment and say they think it's a good title. I'm the only person. Like, I don't work for Sony, but at the moment I feel like maybe I should. Okay, how about Carnage of Ultron?
Carnage of Consent.
Okay, well...
I think we've rung this one clean, to be honest.
Yeah, so... do you know what? I completely forgot from reading the... from Digital Spies article about it that it's directed by Andy Serkis. Completely forgot that Andy Serkis was...
Sure, why not?
...had made this film. So that film has been delayed. We'd already had Marvel's slate of delays. We've had the Sony slate of delays, which is, as I say, Morbius and Venom getting pushed back. It's not the only one to have done so. We also found out this week that I should have taken the Carnage banner off first. That wasn't a smooth transition. Holy delays, Batman. We are going to have to wait a little bit longer to see our Bats's debut as Batman. Because that has been pushed back from June 2021 to October, which actually isn't that much of a delay. And I now that I've said it, I don't think I would have noticed getting that feel. That's not like, oh, it was going to be this year and now it's going to be at the end of 2021. That's June to October. I mean, it means it's not going to be a big summer release. I'm presuming that is, you know, that's not it's been pushed back because people won't be able to go to the cinema. That's pushed back because they need to finish making the film. Like, I don't think they haven't finished shooting that, had they? So that is a bona fide production delay on that one.
I think with films like Batman, they sort of set their own schedule anyway. It's not like if they release that in summer, it's going to be massive. And if they release it in October, it's not. Like, it's going to be huge whatever day of the year it comes out. It doesn't matter.
And I saw comments online to the effect that, well, October is appropriate for Batman because it makes it a Halloween film and we haven't had a Halloween Batman release. I mean, again, this might be a Britain versus America difference, but I don't see Halloween as a festival. I don't see it as something which, you know, you're in the Halloween season, so something being out at the cinema feels appropriate.
Horror movies, right? If a horror movie comes out in October, you're like, oh, I'll go see that on Halloween.
I guess
he dresses in a costume, right?
Well, yeah.
Sexy Batman.
But like, I did see someone say it's more appropriate for the kind of film that this is. I'm like, well,
what,
I haven't seen it yet.
It's more appropriate for this kind of film, a film with a character in it.
We've been getting some suggested titles in for Venom, but we've also had this suggested title for the Batman film, Batman Let There Be Penguins. Some suggestions for Venom included from you're going to want to watch 2 Venom, 2 Carnage, Venom 2 Electric Symbiote.
That's more like it.
And Untitled Venom Sequel.
That's what I would go with.
So that's just basically, I mean, it's this is just, it's all housekeeping at this point, isn't it, really? It's just, so yeah, we'll be seeing the Batman a bit later than we expected. There's also been some slight shifting of other films that I think haven't even really started production yet. Apparently DC have kept a date and actually moved the date forwards for the Flash film. That's now coming forward.
The Flash film?
Yeah, the Flash film is still a thing, apparently. I have no idea who's making that at this point.
I'm not sure that's true.
But apparently that's come forward to June 2022. And Shazam has, Shazam 2, rather, has pushed back from Shazam Let There Be Mr. Mind, has pushed back from April 2022 to November, which... You know, that's, I mean, see,
these are all imaginary dates of this.
I mean, it's completely ethereal, isn't it? It's, you know, these are films that we expect we may or may not see at some point. I want to know when the Cyborg film's coming out.
These are just Gambit films because, like, a Gambit release dates. Like, if you're not actively shooting a film, the release date you have might as well be, like, drawn out of a hat.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's, when did this really become as much of a thing, this thing of planting the flag in release dates for these things? Like, is this, did Marvel
I think it was when people noticed that investors were like getting the information and then it was ending up on the internet anyway, because that's why they announce these far in advance, right? Because they can say to people who are investing in the companies, like, hey, we've got big shit coming up for 2-3 years away. And they have to announce it so that people have confidence in their business plan. But if the people who are investing money know, everyone knows because it's on the internet, so they have to make it into an event and say, like, hey, big stuff is coming, start the hype train rolling. Yeah. The hype train is leaving the station on the untitled Flash movie. Director TBC, cast TBC.
There is almost a part of me, although it would undercut, you know, like our entire model with what we do with this, but that yearns for the time when maybe all of this isn't like the biggest stuff and it quietens down and you don't have to actually pay so much attention to that and things can be a surprise and, you know.
I think we should stop paying attention to release dates unless there is a film actually shooting for them.
Yeah, but on the other hand, when you're going, okay, what news have we got that we can cover on this episode? It's, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
It's what they're reporting on, so it's what we'll report on.
We should definitely not pull on this thread. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yes, let's talk about something that is not a release date, but is potentially some exciting news. And I'm going to flash up a picture of the best damn comic. Netflix goes boom. And actually, that should have had an exclamation mark on it. Netflix is not exploding. That's not what this means. What this means... That was pointless. Netflix have signed a first look deal with Boom Studios, the comics publisher. Publisher best known for titles like Lumberjanes is a big hit of theirs. Mouse Guard, which was actually in the adaptation stages. We'll come to that shortly. I think Lumberjanes was as well. Once and Future, the recent Kieran Gillen hit, and Giant Days. Which...
Can I just briefly pour a bucket of scorn over this?
All right, pour a bucket of scorn before I start talking about Boom comics that I'd like to see adapted.
Giant Days is technically published by the Boombox imprint.
Right.
Does that affect its status as part of this deal? Because I suspect it might.
Well, to be fair, it's not mentioned in the articles that I've seen.
Yeah, because it's probably not as part of the deal. So, sorry to check the scorn bucket over it.
Does that mean I've got to find a picture of Lumberjanes and put that on the screen instead of Giant Day?
It may.
Does it affect Hero Squared, which was one of the first things that Boom published back in the early 2000s, that was Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis series?
I don't believe
it,
so.
If that's potentially included, I'm going to talk about it. but yeah, no, there's an interesting thing here, which is that so Boom have had a deal for movies with Fox running for a little while. It was back in 2013 that it was signed. It's supposed to run up to January 2021. So I think basically nothing is going to come out of that because there were two projects in development I'm reading, which were an animated version of Mouse Guard and a live action adaptation of Lumberjanes, which Fox had been working on for years. Basically, when the Disney deal came in, both those things got cancelled. So even though the deal runs to 2021, there is no chance of Disney/Fox making anything based on a Boom comic. That's not going to happen. So I don't think there's any issue with things that were under development there potentially being off the table here, the way that Giant Days apparently is.
It might not be. I don't know, I mean, I'm
surprised it's not mentioned in any of the articles. I know other things are probably bigger selling, but it's not mentioned in the Netflix. It's not listed in the ones that Netflix put in their press release. So maybe it's not covered, which would be a shame. What about was Steeple Boom?
I think Steeple was Boombox as well. I'm not sure. I know the Midas Flesh was Boombox as well.
Mm.
Ryan North's comic.
I know Steeple was Dark Horse. In fact,
of course, yeah. I have a feeling Boombox is creator owned and therefore probably not subject to this.
Right. Okay. Although I wonder if it could potentially be an avenue, as in it's a.
Oh yeah.
You got that connection with the publisher. I mean, I'd be. We've talked so much about Giant Days and about whether or not Giant Days would, whether an adaptation of Giant Days. It's one of those where you'd have to get the casting so right, you'd have to get the feel of it right. Would it actually translate? I mean, I think Scott Pilgrim shows that Giant Days could work in a form, even if it was quite different from the comic in some ways.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, like an adaptation of Giant Days would draw more people to the comic. So even if it was a slightly inferior adaptation, it would be the best advertising that this criminally overlooked comic could have.
And I mean, as I mentioned before, Hero Squared, I mean, again, this might not be remotely on the table because it was so long ago. I don't know if it's a series where the rights have maybe reverted back to the creators, you know, if it was only with Boom for a particular period, because it's the kind of thing that, you know, when Boom started, they, like many publishers when they start out, you know, did their sort of superhero universe stuff. Because also, wasn't Irredeemable the Mark Waid series? I have a feeling that was Boom as well, wasn't it? It was,
yeah,
because
it was when Irredeemable.
Mark Waid was actually editor-in-chief for a while, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So they were doing their superhero takeoff stuff. But they've kind of moved away from that now. For a while as well, something they were doing was they were doing a lot of cartoon adaptation stuff.
I mean, they still are, right? They're still doing stuff like Power Rangers.
Yeah. But they were doing things like they did a Muppets comic before Disney bought Marvel. Because didn't they do the really good Roger Langridge Muppet stuff?
They did.
So, you know, they've moved more into being an indie publisher that publishes comics that have a wider appeal, kind of certainly outside of like the superhero market, and that bring in more diverse audiences effectively in terms of age particularly. So I don't know if the superhero stuff is the kind of stuff that would be on the table, but Hero Squared was a great little series, I say, by Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis, were the writers. They were the writers of the classic Justice League International run. And the premise was, are you surprised that I like a series that's a superhero thing about parallel universes? It was about a superhero who falls into an alternate dimension where his alter ego never became a superhero and is basically Fry from Futurama. And in his universe, his alter ego's fiance in the universe that he lands into is his arch nemesis because she became a baddie and he became a superhero. But in this other universe, they're just ordinary people who live together. And you end up with this quite interesting love quadrangle between the four characters. It was a great little series. And I think, you know, the idea of, you know, again, it was a very sort of Arnold Rimmer meets Ace Rimmer kind of setup in terms of this schlubby guy meets this kind of superheroic version of himself. But then, as is often the case with these things, the superheroic version, you know, isn't necessarily always that great a guy kind of thing. So that is the kind of thing you could imagine, like, in a heartbeat being a great Netflix series. Irredeemable was another of these kind of like Superman takeoffs. And the idea of Irredeemable is basically one day Superman goes mad and like commits genocide effectively. And the rest of the heroes have to band together to stop him. But then it becomes it's more complex than just Superman is a baddie for the whole thing. But that is kind of which we've seen before. And I think the presence of the boys with an evil version of Superman in it maybe, you know, would make that less of if Netflix did a TV show of Irredeemable now, I could see the accusation of they're just ripping off the boys. I think there are similarities, even though there are differences.
Was it specifically for animated shows, or did people just get on that because of wanting to see a Giant Days cartoon?
This just says, and for new TV, the Netflix release specifically says live action and animated.
Okay.
I think it's just that, yeah, a lot of Boom's current slate and a lot of Boom's popular and award-winning slate lends itself well to animation. So
I would like to see an animated adaptation of the Rocko's Modern Life comic from Boom.
they did a new Rocko recently, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Nickelodeon did the TV movie. It came out at the same time as Invader Zim.
But yeah, this is, I mean, it's nice to see kind of a publisher that's been plugging away doing interesting and really kind of critically acclaimed stuff. I mean, I've never read Lumberjanes, but I've also never seen anyone who's read it do anything other than praise it wildly.
I would say I've never read a bad Boom comic, which isn't to say I've read shitloads of them, but the ones I've read have always been pretty solid.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's nice for Boom. I mean, I do think these publisher package deals are always kind of interesting rather than sort of specifically picking out shows to adapt. Mm-hmm. But I guess, is it really that different from DC, Warner's and Marvel, Disney, really, at the end of the day? It's, you know,
or Miller World, Netflix.
I was just going to say, I do find it interesting that we have still yet to see the first Miller World Netflix TV show, and they're off linking
Jupiter's Legacy, in fairness, is filming and well on its way.
Yeah, it's on the way, but it's taken a while, and there's not been,
it's not unusual for TV.
TV's
take 4 or 5 years. Like, when was that Miller World Netflix thing?
Feels like a lifetime ago. Look it up. See when it was.
I'm looking it up now.
Surprise me.
Miller World Netflix. 2017. So, yeah. August 2017. Yeah. 3 years to go from a standing start. Doesn't seem that unreasonable.
Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, well, that's, you know, as I say, that's interesting sort of, and actually as well, kind of just positive to see some new news of new things, you know, kind of new deals being signed, new things, you know. Obviously they know nothing can go into production at the moment, but
just money going into the industry is good.
Well, exactly, yeah,
at this point,
given that we don't know what shape the industry is going to be in.
industry
I mentioned DC and their link up with Warner's and with HBO, obviously, as well, kind of doing more and more stuff related to DC, and that leads us nicely onto our next story, which is about these guys, Dark Justice JJ.
I did not agree to this in advance.
No, James did not get to see the headlines. He did not get to see Let There Be Carnage. This is Justice League Dark, a franchise which I'll explain shortly for those who don't know, is getting an HBO Max TV series, and it's going to be produced by your favorite and mine, J.J. Abrams.
I mean, anything that keeps him away from Star Trek, right?
He's done 2 good Star Trek movies. I mean, he didn't make the third one, but, you know, his Star Trek movies have got 2 good movies and 1 absolutely dreadful one. But
yeah, I'm not sure I can agree.
I mean, this guy's been trying to do something for DC for a long time. Like, I feel like it was like 2004 or something that he was supposed to be doing that terrible Superman movie idea.
Is that the one where he didn't fly?
No, it was the one where Lex Luthor was a Kryptonian villain and Krypton didn't explode, and the second film was going to be set on Krypton. So, yeah. When you hear me slagging off Man of Steel, know that I at least think that what we got there is better than we would have got with J.J. Abrams. That's the nicest I will ever be about Man of Steel. So Justice League Dark is a name, and not necessarily, there's nothing wrong with the concept, but it is a name that has bafflingly persisted for nearly a decade, because it was one of the launch titles of the new
52, yeah,
back in 2011. And the premise is fine, because the premise is basically it's various of DC's supernatural characters banding together as a group.
It should have been called the Spooky Justice League.
I mean, as I say, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, because partly all of those supernatural characters, from Deadman to Zatanna to Swamp Thing to even John Constantine, they all come out of a superhero tradition, you know.
Have they ever been members of the Justice League, though? Because I feel like you can't just start calling yourself the Justice
League. That's the thing. It's the name that was daft. It was. I mean, Deadman might have been in it. I feel like Deadman probably would have been in the Justice League in like...
Zatanna, surely.
Oh, yeah, that was Zatanna, absolutely. Yeah, Zatanna was a member of the Tatlight League. She was a proper full-on Justice League. Maybe that's the link. Maybe the link is, we've got Zatanna.
It is sort of tough to be like, well, I was in that team, so I'm going to call myself a new version of that team. Like, if you left your company... and set up a new company under their name. Like, if I set up a company called Yahoo, Dark Yahoo, people will be like, you didn't work there that long, James. You weren't that involved.
But, I mean, this was a time when kind of what DC had basically done at that point was they had fully closed the doors on Vertigo. Vertigo was still going, as I think. They closed the doors on the Vertigo universe, because what DC had done, DC had kind of developed throughout the 1980s and particularly the late 80s, a stable of supernatural characters that lent themselves really well to appearing in suggested for mature readers books. Obviously, Sandman being the prime example, but it all kind of span out.
If you like urban fantasy.
Yeah. But what they sort of gradually did was move those characters actually away from the DC universe. Like, it is a fascinating thing about Sandman that Sandman is technically in its entirety in the DC universe, but they moved it over to Vertigo. And initially Vertigo was, this is still DCU set, but we just try not to make reference to the superheroes if we can avoid it. Then Vertigo started being a place where you would also get, if not creator owned, then certainly entirely sort of,
standalone universes,
things like Preacher being a really obvious example, and then a lot of other stuff that followed after that. So by the time of 2011, the part of Vertigo that was technically DC connected basically got shut off for good when they ended Hellblazer. And as I say, they kept Vertigo as an imprint, but created this new version of John Constantine, who was a younger version, who was more firmly in the DC universe, who said the word bollocks a lot whenever he was being written by Americans. And one of the things they put him in, as well as giving him his own series, was Justice League Dark, which pulled all these characters together. I don't dislike that idea of the spooky, supernatural, horror-y, mystery, magic side of DC all getting together and telling stories about them. It's a nice premise, and you can see why, over the last 10 years, people have looked at doing projects based on it. There was supposed to be a Guillermo del Toro movie of it, which you could see working really well. That's obviously not on the table now, but... what they are looking at doing is an HBO Max series. So we could be getting our third screen John Constantine, unless they dig out Matt Ryan for it again. But I think he's too firmly ensconced in the Arrowverse now that they can't pull him out into something else unless it's part of that universe. And I think because it's HBO Max, it's not CW or any of that, that stable. I don't think it can be, but people always like correcting me on matters to do with the DC shows. So if you want to correct me, do so. Don't bring back Matt Ryan. He's had his go. He's had enough of a go. I'm sorry, Matt Ryan. I think I've said this before. Always looks to me like somebody cosplaying as John Constantine. He just looks like someone dressed up. He's just never worked for me. I prefer the Keanu Reeves version, even though it's a completely different character. I'm sorry. I'm just going to watch the viewer numbers dwindle as I say that. But yeah, this could be fun. We could see characters, like the good DC characters, we could get to see on screen for the first time. It's worth noting as well that actually in later versions of Justice League Dark, in the Rebirth version, they made Wonder Woman the leader of the team, because I think they were trying to address that. Well, we've called this a Justice League, we need to have a Justice League character. And they did an animated one of those animated straight to DVD movies, and they put Batman in it. Batman is like the forefront character on the cover of that. So I mean, if you're gonna have a Justice League Dark, it kind of makes sense for Batman to be in it. I wouldn't imagine that this TV show would do that. I think you would be looking at certainly Constantine, almost certainly Zatanna, Deadman. I mean, Deadman's got to be a shoo-in. Deadman is a great character because he's a ghost. His thing, he possesses people, but when he possesses them, they, because of his personality, he's basically this wisecracking circus acrobat. And it's like, it's always fun when characters get possessed by Boston Brand and he talks like Boston Brand. And his outfit, if you've never seen Deadman, I felt like kind of Googling and actually flashing up an image on screen, but go and Google an image of Deadman, the DC character. He's such a good design. He basically looks like Daredevil if Daredevil was a skeleton. It's brilliant. So I'd love
Swamp Thing is the character I want to see in this. If
well, because there's that question, okay, of the Swamp. We've just had a Swamp Thing TV show. Would they wheel out Swamp Thing again? Would they even try and tie it to that?
Did we have a Swamp Thing TV show? Not really, right?
Well, we did. It exists.
There was a what was it like a monumental accounting fuck up that made it immediately unprofitable before it even got any viewers.
Yeah. People who saw it seemed to really like it.
I don't think it was bad. Yeah. I think it wasn't the report that someone doing the budgets basically miscounted for
that
tax
breaks. There was
going
to be a massive tax break.
And then they just had no money. Yeah.
Season two. Yeah, and it,
or they couldn't afford to finish season one, could they?
Yeah. That's the story. I have a feeling that was denied. Whether it was denied convincingly, I don't know.
Yeah, it may have been denied to try and avoid looking like a bunch of fucking amateurs.
But anyway, I think this is, you know, if HBO are looking to do an HBO and sort of do some DC stuff, I mean, I still think the DC thing that should get turned into a TV show is Hitman. Well, I mean, I think Starman as well, but, you know, we'll come to that. But, you know, I think HBO could do a Hitman TV show that made reference to being in Gotham. Like, I don't think you'd have an appearance by Batman or by Green Lantern like one of the arcs did, but I think you could set it in Gotham and you could call it Gotham and you could make reference to Batman and Catwoman and stuff. And you could preserve so much of what made Hitman good in a TV show, as long as you got the casting right. I don't understand why it's not their first port of call, especially seeing as they love making things about Batman that don't have Batman in. I don't understand why they haven't.
I was thinking about this. Like, will the Dark Justice League Dark be one of those shows where Batman inaccountably disappeared? They'll be like, oh, ever since Batman disappeared.
Maybe Batman created the team, and that's why it's called the Justice League Dark.
Yeah.
It just, the name Justice League Dark just makes me think it's a chocolate bar. I just think if you put the name Dark on the end of something, it's like a chocolate bar. But, you know, as even calling it something like Dark Justice feels like it would be a slightly better name. But I don't.
Justice League Milk.
I mean, just call it House of Mystery or something like that. Like, DC has got horror-y names and titles in its background that you could, you know, House of Secrets, House of Mystery, all of that stuff.
The unexpected.
Yeah. But, you know, I...
No one expects them, Sam.
Challenges of the unknown.
I admittedly would not expect that group of characters to turn up. Because I'd be like, so you're a magician, like, you know, you're a swamp monster.
It's like, I remember back when they when kind of DC's then equivalent of the Justice League Dark was basically John Constantine. It was your characters who'd shown up in the Books of Magic. It was John Constantine and the Phantom Stranger and Dr. Occult and Mr. E, and like they'd appeared in Books of Magic, the Neil Gaiman series, and there's a line where John Constantine says, oh, the charge of the Trenchcoat Brigade. And then they did a 4-issue miniseries with them reuniting called The Trenchcoat Brigade. It's like, I like that. That's a good title.
I don't know. That speaks to DC's willingness to like take anything Neil Gaiman tosses off and turn it into a universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was just a joke, guys. You don't have to wank yourself off over it.
Listen, I've read an awful lot of those Sandman Presents miniseries. They were very
some of them are good
quality. Oh yeah, some of them are great, but some of
Love
them
Street's
were,
really good. Yeah,
some of them were tenuous. yeah. So J.J. Abrams, I mean, I have no idea how J.J. Abrams will cope with something like that. He's not the first name I would have thought of for this property.
With any luck, he will be just sticking his name on it to try and get it made. And people who actually care about and have talent for what they're doing will take over. Maybe his son will have a go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. True, when he's finished writing that Spider-Man comic that he's definitely going to finish.
Writing. Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, we've got nearly 40 minutes in. Do we want to talk about Stargirl, or do we want to take some listener questions, or should we say that we're going to take some viewer/listener questions, but while we wait for them to come in on the comments feed, should we quickly talk about Stargirl?
Let's do 3 minutes on Stargirl and no more.
Okay.
Because I watched the trailer for Stargirl, and I thought it looked quite good.
Okay, so yeah, let's have James watching this trailer not be for nothing. There's been a few actually little kind of promos and videos and stuff have shown up for Stargirl as they're ramping up, because it's going to land on DC Universe next month, we think. I say we think, like, that is what they've said. I'm just saying, I feel like everything has to be taken with a pinch of salt in this world right now. But it is set to debut on DC Universe next month. So there's a new trailer for it. What it mainly does is open up a little bit more the premise being very much about the Justice Society and the next generation of the Justice Society. We already kind of knew that this show was quite generational, and because obviously it's about Courtney, a Stargirl, picking up the legacy of Starman. But it also, what we've kind of learned over the past kind of few weeks as character stuff has come out and trailers have come out, is that we are also getting young legacy versions of Wildcat, Dr. Midnight, and Hourman, as well as the Injustice Society, who are the baddies. And we also get in this trailer a glimpse of the original Justice Society all sat around a table with the kind of that lineup present and correct. So this is very much, while it's called Stargirl, what it really seems to be is about a team of young heroes. So James, yeah, someone who's not had the close eye on an interest in this property that I have, what did you make of that trailer?
So it's not my kind of show, that's fair to say, but I thought it looked like a fun version. Like, if this was about Marvel heroes, I would probably be all over it. Mm. Like, I know you thought it looked a bit cheap, and that the costumes were maybe not up to much, but I think it looks
a bit more Smallville than I was hoping it might. I think
I sort of think if you were making a show about kids being superheroes, this looks like it would look like, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I did think, I'm not sure her name, I think the lead actress in that trailer,
Brett Bessinger or Bessinger. It's like the old Bessinger question again. I don't know which it is.
It strikes me as maybe not the greatest. Mm. Like, I don't, based on the trailer, it's hard to say for sure, but we were talking before about how she sort of lacks the raw charisma of Melissa Benoist from
it was so obvious from those first trailers, like, just how Melissa Benoist had nailed it and sort of had the charisma and the personality and all of that. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's anything that looks kind of actively bad. It just looks very sort of unexpected and quite middling and generic performance. I do think there's just something about, I feel like, as I say, it's a similar problem that Smallville had. I think it's like when you see the shot of the Justice Society sat around the table, and like, none of them look wrong in terms of their costumes. But I think to an extent, Watchmen had this, as in Watchmen the movie had this problem as well. And as I say, definitely kind of what Smallville did. It feels like whenever they go back to do like those kind of older heroes and those old golden age costumes, they don't seem to be able to find the way to stop them looking cheesy and rubbish that I think, you know, shows and films are starting to successfully do with more modern costumes. You know, the MCU is generally nailing it. I think the Arrowverse does a pretty decent job as well. You know, I think the Flash costumes have got better and better. I like that there is definitely, I'd say, you look at this and I've got the frame paused and you look at these characters sitting around the table and you've got, interestingly, interesting because I think it's interesting they haven't left him out. There is a Golden Age Flash there in a costume that looks much more comicsy. And by comicsy, I mean Alex Ross, actually. It looks like an Alex Ross drawing than, you know, the Jay Garrick of the TV show. The Starman costume that they've got, which is the Sylvester Pemberton Skyman costume, is pretty much 100% comics accurate. But then he's from a later era anyway. Like, that costume is a kind of 70s creation, I think. And it's not a kind of old 1940s thing. Like, you see our man sat around the table in his hood and with his hour thing. They've got Sandman in there. They've got the Wesley Dodd Sandman in his gas mask and hat. They've got Dr. Fate in his helmet. there's a couple of characters who I can't pin exactly who they're supposed to be. I know Wildcat's there. I think the one who looks a bit like Captain America is probably the Atom. Oh, no, hang on, because somebody's got an owl. So maybe that's Dr. Midnight at the front. So maybe that's Wildcat on the other side. Maybe the Atom's not there. Hawkman and Hawkgirl are there. Johnny Thunder's there.
I feel like we're reaching our Starman quota, Seb.
Okay, I'll stop going through the Justice Society members in that. But anyway, yeah, I think I like the idea of this being about that. You know, I've talked about this before. I like the idea of it being about DC's legacy heroes and stuff. I worry that this is going to be a little bit cheap and throw away and kind of a bit kind of kiddie with sort of being about the younger characters. It's whether it'll hit that right balance. So it will see, but I mean,
I'm sure you will be watching it.
Yeah. I'll definitely give it a look given the characters that it's referencing. But I'm interested actually genuinely in the fact that you say that you think it looks pretty decent, because maybe I'm just sort of, not necessarily judging it fairly. So, we'll see, but we'll find a way to look at that, and if not actually, you know, cover it in detail with an episode, then, you know, I'll definitely try and at least have a look at that and see how that comes out. We've had a few questions come through on that sort of slight delay on the feed. People have had a chance to think of them and the feed has had a chance to pull them through. Would you like to answer some questions?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, James, which Disney Plus superhero animated shows are worth watching?
I think the X-Men animated series is definitely worth watching.
Really?
To be honest, I don't know what else is on there.
Isn't it basically everything?
There's a lot. The thing I want to watch after I finish with X-Men is probably Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, although I don't think that's generally considered good.
No, but it's seminal.
It occupies an interesting space, not least because it's got Spider-Man living in like a secret base in an apartment that turns into a secret base. Like, it's a very unusual take on Spider-Man.
Well, also, it's Spider-Man, with Iceman. And what was going to be the Human Torch, but they didn't have the rights, so they created Firestar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bizarre that they sort of that was their what they decided to put together.
I'm interested to revisit that. Mm. I think I don't know if Wolverine and the X-Men is on there, but that is really good. That's probably, and it hurts me to say it, that's probably the best X-Men cartoon that there's ever been. So Wolverine and the X-Men is on there, definitely go and watch that.
What's your feeling on X-Men Evolution? So I remember the excitement when that came out, because that was the post-movie one.
Yeah, see, as soon as I saw the first shots from that, I was like, I'm just not going to bother, and I never have.
I feel like a lot of people would probably expect an answer to this to be Spider-Man 94. In fact, there we go, there is a comment saying 90 Spider-Man. I feel, whether this is fair or not, I liken the relationship between X-Men and Spider-Man 94 to Batman and Superman, the animated series, which is that the second one, the thing you expect them to do as the natural follow-on, kind of from a production point of view is doing all the same things that the first one did, but something about it just doesn't quite have that magic. Like the Superman show, you know, you would think, especially for me, like a Superman TV show that has got that aesthetic that kind of follows on from the Batman show and is doing like comics faithful takes on Superman and characters and stuff would be so up my street. And I find it so dry and dull. And I feel similarly about the Spider-Man show. I don't think it has that X factor.
It really doesn't have that sort of magic ingredient, does it? Like it just feels sort of anodyne.
Mm.
And you know, and I can't get fired up about it. That's
like
the thing.
From the comics. Like, I don't understand why
I don't feel invested in that show. And I've watched it all a couple of times, like over the course of my life. But I don't know.
I think the best thing about the Spider-Man TV show is the influence that it had on the Neversoft games. Like the that setting and those versions of the characters, I think, are actually best represented in the Neversoft games.
But yeah, I would say keep your eye on the Patreon, and I will be delving more into Disney Plus's superhero offerings.
How much X-Men have you got left?
I've done a season and a half of X-Men.
And how many are there?
5 seasons.
Oh, okay. So you've still got a way to go.
Well, in between seasons of X-Men, I'm dipping into other series and looking at cartoons from those starring the X-Men. So I will probably do the episodes of Spider-Man that had the X-Men in, for example. At some point, I will do any 60s appearances I can find, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just as a fun palette cleanser between seasons. And then maybe when I finished X-Men, I might go and look at the 90s Iron Man one. I quite enjoyed that. Or the 90s Fantastic Four. I don't know. I'll see.
So definitive answer there on which ones are worth watching. James is going to find out.
I was going to say, if you keep watching the Patreon, I will find out which ones are worth watching.
Do we think that Sony will eventually do their own Endgame with the likes of Venom, Carnage, Morbius, and maybe multiple Spider-Man?
I think they will definitely have that on a whiteboard somewhere. I think it will be awful, but they are going to do it.
Do you think they will manage to reach that point before the bubble bursts on that? And when the bubble bursts, when Morbius comes out?
Yeah. I think by the time Morbius comes out, I think this idea will already be in development. So it's going to be too late.
They will definitely try it. They'll try and do something.
Develop it for sure. Whether they get to release it is another matter, but I'm certain it's already part of the roadmap.
Yeah. I think post Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, and Spider-Man Homer's Barbershop Quartet, I think that's the point when they go, okay, we're going to bring them together. We're going to not necessarily do a big crossover, but we are going to have something, whether that's Spider-Man appearing in a Venom film or we're going to do a Spider-Man film where this Venom appears.
I think before Venom 3, we get a Spider-Man and Venom crossover, and possibly it's Maximum Carnage. I don't know. But
they're desperate to do it. They are absolutely desperate.
My impression is that part of the negotiation between Sony and Marvel was that they were like, okay, we won't take as much money from the Marvel Spider-Man film, but we get to use Spider-Man in our own film. And it's not called Spider-Man, it's called something else. So something like that. But yeah.
Another question has come through, one aimed at me. Are we planning to cover Crisis at some point? It feels like the moment's passed, but I should go back and watch it at some point and do something on, maybe on a Patreon. Look, if I get the chance to, I say if I get the chance, we're in lockdown. I will watch Crisis and I will do a Patreon episode saying what I thought of it. There's no point.
Don't you threaten this.
All right, X-Men boy. Yeah, I'll give it a look. I feel like I already know most of what happened in it, but I'll give it a look and give some thoughts on it. That is my pledge. Mm-hmm. Here's a bit of news that we missed. E4 announced today that from the 7th of May, they're going to be showing the Harley Quinn series. Are you planning on watching it? I would have thought that I had no interest in it until I saw a clip and saw that their version of Bane has got the Tom Hardy voice. They've done Bane like with a Tom Hardy voice. And that made me interested. And then I've watched some other clips. And what was kind of off-putting to me was the amount of swearing in it. And it's not that I don't like swearing, but it felt very, oh, look, we're adult and we can be edgy. And so we're going to have Harley Quinn tell Batman that he fucks bats. Like, that seemed like it was like just quite kind of puerile and trying to be edgy for edgy's sake. What I've seen of it suggests that maybe there's a bit more to the show than that. And I didn't know it was getting this UK broadcast, but I think I'll give it a look. And again, if it's kind of worth, if James gives it a look and if it's worth doing some coverage, I think we might maybe look at that, because I have actually heard quite good things about it.
Yeah, I would definitely give it a try when it turns up on a streaming platform without adverts.
Oh god, that's a point. I mean, I can get it on the
I'm phone, not seeing through adverts for anyone, so sorry.
And all four is the worst.
But well, it's the worst. It's so bad. Yeah.
Dreadful. Yeah. Dreadful platform. So,
if anyone wants to send me a DVD,
I think of the people watching, maybe there's somebody who's in a position to
yeah.
get involved on the distribution side and sort that out for you. Okay, I think that's it for questions that we've had from people, unless people have any more kind of questions and comments. Thank you to everyone who has watched along and commented. We appreciate you sticking with us through this. Apologies if you left us a comment that we didn't put up on screen. This was going to be another half an hour thing, and it's gone for nearly an hour. So, but these are I'm enjoying doing these live minisodes, not least because we don't have to edit them before putting them out on the podcast. but also, no, genuinely, I like the interaction, and I like sort of not having to hide the fact that we're looking up stuff as we go, which is usually what
they want. Let's wait and see if we get any negative feedback from the audio only listeners first before we commit to this. I'm enjoying it as well, but we'll see.
Okay, yeah. If you're an audio-only listener and these are irritating you, let us know what you think. And if you want us to do some proper news episodes without the viewer input, then we'll do that. But these are fun. As ever, yes, we'll be. We're not doing this week a film live stream. Just basically this weekend's tricky for scheduling and personal reasons, so we can't fit in doing one this week. But you got Dan Slott on Spider-Verse last Saturday, so you know if you haven't watched that yet, go back and watch that stream. Because despite some little technical glitches here and there, that was a really entertaining chat, I think. And we are really enjoying doing those, and we're enjoying the reactions and interactions we get off people to those. So there will be another one, and it'll be a Patreon exclusive when it's live, and then it'll go on YouTube afterwards. So that'll be next week.
We're going to get Alan Moore to watch League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Ideally.
He's not responded to the emails yet. But...
Yeah. Even better, we're going to get James to watch Watchmen. It's Misha. and obviously we'll be back with a main episode shortly. We've just put one out. We just put out our Terminator 2 episode. If you somehow
do, we even know what we're doing next?
No, we're still winging it. I think we've got a couple of things that we've talked about, but we haven't nailed it down yet. We'll nail it down.
Is it time to do Sin City 2 yet?
We haven't done Kick-Ass 2 yet either.
We haven't done Kick-Ass
2. We've had a lot of suggestions over the last 24 hours for films we should do from people responding to the fact that we've done Terminator 2 and said, why haven't you done this comic book film? So the next one will definitely be based on...
We know there are comic films left. Yeah. We just wanted to do some films that were really good.
Yeah. You can't begrudge us wanting to do Terminator 2 at a time like this. That's on there. I'm not going to do the usual subscribe and whatever spiel because it's a minisode and you all know it anyway. But thank you again for watching or for listening. Feedback as ever at @cine_verse on Twitter, podcast@cinematicuniverse.com. Let us know how you're getting on with these things. And we will see you the next time we decide to either hop on a video or put a recording out. So thanks again and goodbye. James is waving. That doesn't work on audio. You've got to think of those audio listeners.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
8Cast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.